for everybody here. That's something that God has especially for you. How many of you came here to get something for you? I need something myself. I'm expecting God to give me something in this meeting. I just know He can move us up another notch. He can give us something special. And I know that you guys you're the hope of the world. And you're the future of the body of Christ. And we need you. And I don't know that you've got too much time to fool around. So, give yourself some time in this meeting. And let the Lord bless you. Let Him use you. If your heart gets to beating real fast, your hands start sweating, and you feel like God wants you to do something or say something, well, don't be a dummy. Don't sit there and say, "Is this God?" You know, how often do you come to church and your heart starts beating fast and your hand goes to sweating and you've got something to say? You know, I think of all the times you're sitting there and you don't have nothing to say. There ain't nothing in your mind. Your heart's just, you know, it's just beating a normal beat. Your hands are dry. But then all of a sudden the Spirit, you feel God on you and you get nervous and your heart starts beating and you feel like God wants you to say something and you say, "Is this God? You dummy?" I don't mean that like it sounds. I just mean, let Him use you. Let God use you. I'd rather get up and miss it than I had to sit and burn and wonder whether or not I failed God. At least you can say, "Lord, I tried. I tried to obey you. I thought it was you." And you'll learn through all those experiences. But anyway, if you're wondering what this ugly apparatus is over here, it's air conditioning. There's a 15-ton air conditioner out there pouring in cool air in here. Hopefully, we won't get hot in this meeting. Hopefully, it won't be as uncomfortable as it has been in the past. I told y'all our last meeting we was going to do something, and I meant to actually put in something permanent, but after we got air conditioning men in here telling us what to do and all, this is what they came up with, and we said, we'll try it. So, let's feel on the Lord tonight. Let's worship Him. Just everybody take a deep breath and let your air out. Relax. Let your toes run all the way out the end of your shoes. Don't be tight and all drawn up. Just relax and let the Spirit of God come in and begin to talk to our hearts, begin to deal with us. I'm just looking for something special for God. From the Lord, I mean, in this meeting. All right, let's just worship Him. You want to just, could we just stand right here and just ask God if He would help us, if He would take charge of this meeting, if He'd cover us and have His will here. Oh God, blessed Lord Jesus, we're looking to You, Lord. We need You, we need Your help, Your leading, Your guidance, Your direction, Your covering, oh God. Cover us, Lord. Have Your will, oh God. These are Your people. They're Your people, Lord. God, we're gathered here in Your name to receive of You. Help us, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, precious Lord, precious Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be Your wonderful name, Jesus. Oh, God, we're depending on You, Lord. Amen, amen. All right, let's just let the Lord have His way.
toward heaven. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank God for these good touches that the Lord gives us in these meetings. I'm thankful for His precious Spirit. Amen. Again, I want to tell every one of you how much we appreciate you being here. Seeing what the Lord's going to do here in this meeting. He'll be giving different touches to these young people. Throughout the meeting, I'm sure. Praise God. And I meant what I said earlier. I do want you brethren and sisters both to feel on the Lord. Let Him use you in this meeting. See if He'll, you know, if He's dealing with you to share a testimony or song or... We want you to be used of the Lord and see what the Lord has for us here. And... I don't want to do very much. I don't feel like I'll say very much in this meeting. I'd like for those of you that came or those that God wants to use to be used of the Lord. And I just thought I might say a few words here tonight and see if I could inspire some more of you to share what God's got on your hearts. Praise God. Bless His name. Praise the Lord. Blessed Lord, thank God for these good touches. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Bless our brother, Lord. Thank God. Isn't it wonderful to get a good deep touch from the Lord? I tell you, it's important. The Spirit of God's important. It's just as important as the Word of God. If the Word of God wouldn't carry you very far if you didn't have that touch of the Holy Ghost. So, glory. Bless his name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. I was just thinking today just how important this group of people, this group of young people here in this building is tonight. You see, I've got a vision of the body of Christ and what God's going to do in restoring the church in these last days of the Gentile world. And I have a great expectation for you people, you young people, because you're special. You're specially called of God. You know, John said this about Jesus when he came in the end of the Jewish world. He said that Jesus came to his own. That was the Jewish people of that day. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as did receive him. In other words, when he said they received him not, he followed it up with showing not everybody didn't receive him, but those that did receive him. There was an element that did receive him, and to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I can apply that to you people tonight. We're in the end of another world, and Jesus has touched a lot of people. He's touched a lot of people in this world. But you in particular, has he done something special for? You just happen to be in the body of Christ. That was what the scripture said about Ruth. You know, it was her hap to light on the field of Boaz. Just happened to. Well, it may have felt like that. You may just feel like you just by happen chance got here. And it's true that some of us just are here because it's just where we came from. We just are the offspring of our mothers and fathers, and this is where they are, and that's where we're at. But that's what makes you special, because God's called a people. See, if you were a Jew back in the early, or the old covenant, and you were just born a Jew baby, you just happened to be one of the chosen, elect people of God. And there was a special calling on those people. Now, not all those people took advantage of what they were elected to do. But you being here makes me feel like you're trying to take advantage of it. That you've got a glimpse, a whiff, an inkling of what God has called you to do, what God's calling is for your life. I'm telling you, it is special. I'm telling you, it's the hope of eternity. Somebody's going to answer the call. Somebody, he's going to give power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. And he's giving you that invitation. I wish I could tell y'all that I grew up in the body of Christ, you know, just a body brat. How many of y'all are body brats? Raise your hand. Ooh-wee. Well, let me tell you, you're special. I wish I could have been a body brat, because, you know, I had to, you know, God had to add me to this. You know, I was a stranger and you took me in. But I did know the Lord before I got here. And he called me. He had a special touch for me if I'd receive it. I remember when I was just 20 years old, God called me to the ministry. It's a long story and I won't bore you with it. My sister Smith and I were just young and just had a little six-month-old baby. And God put her on her deathbed and put me on my knees. I was backslid, Holy Ghost boy. Had the Holy Ghost from when I was 12 years old. But God got my attention. And he called me. You know, I made him a promise. I told him if he would let my wife live, I'd serve him. And she promised him if he had let her live long enough to see her son grow up, that she had served him. Of course, we didn't know one another was praying those prayers, but we were. Well, he's 45 years old. There he is. He's getting to be an old man. And he's got a son. And he's got a son. So God answered our prayer. But it took me a while to live up to my promise. As soon as I got her out of the hospital, well, I kind of forgot about my promise, but God didn't forget. Now, I grew up a Pentecostal boy. You know, my mama drugged me to church. I can tell you all about the sawdust floors and revivals and from the time I was a little kid. She drugged me into all them places. I got the Holy Ghost young, but I didn't know what I had, and I didn't really understand the things of God. But after God raised my wife up off of her deathbed and got us both in a service and got us down in the floor wallering in the Holy Ghost, God called me to the ministry. Now, that's not so significant for you because it don't matter if God's called you to the ministry or what He's called you. You're called. Every one of you has got a calling because every member is to be effective in the measure of every part. So you've got a part. You may not know what it is right now, but you've got one. And that's why there's a scripture in Peter, and I'm not going to talk very long, but just let me give you a little bit of my testimony and I'll sit down. Because I want you preachers to talk and you saints to testify and singers to sing. But I thought of this scripture tonight where Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, I could start in 7 where it says, casting all your care upon Him for He careth for you. Be sober. I sort of think this scripture, we need to borrow it from Peter talking to the churches back there, because I think we're living in a time where you young people need to be exhorted to be sober. Sober-minded. You know, in other words, it's all right to have fun and enjoy fellowship and entertainment. But there needs to be a soberness among the young people in the body of Christ today, because we're living it's a good time, because it's a time that God is restoring the church. And let me say something to y'all about that right now. Every one of you, God has called to be a leader. Every one of you. You might say, well, I don't feel like I'm a leader. Well, you better get to feeling like one, because that's what you're called to be. If you want to make the bride, you're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And that takes leadership. And he has called you to develop into leadership. Ruling. You know what that entails? It entails being a good follower of good leaders to learn leadership. But it entails more than that. You know, if times get tough, things get frustrated. You know, right now, in the body of Christ, it could be, you know, in different assemblies, you can be going through an exciting time, or you can be going through a difficult time, or somewhere in between. But if you're going through an exciting time, there's some difficult times down the road you're going to run into, and there's some in between. You're going to have it all. You're going to experience it all. Now, when it's exciting and we're on top of the mountain, it's easy to lead. When you're excited, when you're full of zeal, God's got you pumped up, it's easy to take the bull by the horns, you know, take the reins and say, I can drive this thing. But it's when the tough times gets going. It's when frustrating times come. It's when you want to give up. And that's where you need those seeds of leadership that's been planted in your life, that calling of leadership, that God wants you to not, you know, get involved in the negative, frustrating conversations and down in the dumps and your feeble knees being feeble and your hands hanging down. That's when a leader says, hey, there's a God in heaven. He's with us. We may be going through something, but if we'll serve him, he'll bring us out of it. That's what leaders do. Leaders come up under the load. When the burden gets heavy, they get up under the load. And you should try that some. You should say, well, I'm not really got this leadership role going good yet. But once in a while, you ought to say, hey, I see somebody that's under the load. I think I'll help them. I'll help them hold it up. Because that's what God calls you to do. You'll have to develop it. It'll have to grow in you. But, so, I think God wants us to have some soberness in our young people. In all of us, as far as that's concerned. But this is a youth meeting. So I think God wants you young people to be sober. That is, have us enough soberness that you're serious about your calling and what God is doing and you being a part of it. Then he said, be sober, be vigilant. You know what that word vigilant means? It means stay awake. Wait, stay awake, watch. Remember Jesus said, he told his disciples several times, watch. So the Lord wants you to be vigilant. Watch. Stay awake. Don't go to sleep on the job. Don't slumber on your calling. You know, you feel yourself getting sleepy, well, I tell the church here every once in a while, I tell them, you know, I have this deal where, you know, I committed to the Lord to read the Bible, study the Bible. And I try to get the church to read through the Bible every year. And, you know, I don't know if any of you have insomnia and you have a hard time sleeping, but I've got the cure. Read your Bible. When it's late at night and you can't sleep, just get out your Bible. I'm telling you, it only takes a chapter or two. Insomnia starts leaking out. I can remember several experiences that I've had, you know, reading my Bible where I'd sit down, you know, say, all right, I'm going to read my Bible. None of y'all probably ever done what I've done here, you know, in this. But I'd sit down and say, okay, I'm gonna read my Bible. So I'd sit down, I'd open up and get started reading. I think I'll get me something to drink before I get started. So I get me something to drink, sit down and maybe read 3 or 4 or 5 verses, and I think, well, you know, maybe I'll pop some popcorn, have some popcorn with this. So I'm drinking my drink, my water or whatever, Coca-Cola, and eating a little bit of popcorn, read about 6 or 7, 8 more verses. Maybe hurry through a chapter. I don't remember what I read, but I read it. You know, I can mark that chapter off. But then I start getting sleepy. Any of y'all ever do any of that? Don't raise your hand. But I remember one time when I told myself said, maybe you ought to get you a drink of water. Maybe you ought to get you something to drink. I said, I ain't giving you nothing to drink. A little while, something said, maybe you ought to pop some popcorn. I said, you ain't getting any popcorn. And I'm going to add something to it. If you get sleepy on me, I'll make you stand up and read this Bible. You got to talk to yourself every once in a while. You got to get serious about this. If you're not careful, the devil will rob you. Whoever he is. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I know y'all know that very well, that if you're not sober, if you don't stay awake, you're going to fall in a trap in this world. Now, if you're not careful, you'll come to church, and you'll Facebook, or you'll surf on your smartphones. By the way, I've got an Android now. I mean, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I mean, iPhone had it. They had Android Beat for a long time. But I can change. You know, I just want you to know I can change. But I'm just kidding about all that. They all do the same thing. We all know that. My point is, though, you can let things rob you of the very high calling of God. And I talked a little bit about that here not long ago, and people in the church, I didn't ask them to, they just started bringing their cell phones up and putting them on the altar for a service. We had a network free service. Can you imagine that? But whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, they're being robbed of the things of God. They're involved in all of the adversary of this world. Everything that's adverse against God is robbing them of God being a part of their life. But then here's the verse I wanted to mention to you. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I use that verse, I just kind of go backwards in it. And I say, you've got to get settled first. When God called me out there, I was in Babylon, but when he called me to the ministry, I wasn't settled. It wasn't settled in my heart really to even serve him. I hadn't been put to the test. I hadn't served him enough to get it settled that I'm going to serve God. I'm making my life a part of God's work. I'm making my life a part of God's calling. I'm casting my lot with the people of God. That wasn't settled. I just knew I was called, and I knew God touched me. I knew I had a great touch when God saved me and when He gave me the Holy Ghost and when He called me. I knew I was called. But I kept, I don't know if any of y'all do this or not, but I kept waiting for God to do whatever He is going to do to use me in whatever He called me to do. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I mean, since I was called to the ministry, I kind of thought about being something like, you know, Catherine Kuhlman or, you know, some great healer or one of these guys that walked out on the stage in a white suit and all the lights was on him and he started laying his hands on people and they grew legs and blind eyes. You know, I'll be honest with you, all that came into my mind. I was exalted to the hilt. I know that now. You know. But I was imagining whatever it was God's called me to do, I wanted it to be good. I wanted it to be great. But let me tell you a big mistake I made. I was waiting on God. I was waiting on the Lord to do whatever He's going to do with me. And I got sort of frustrated. I got discouraged in waiting on God. And, you know, in other words, I just kind of put things off as far as my being diligent or sober or vigilant or anything. I just kind of put that off, waiting on God. One day, the Lord began to deal with me one day, and I was driving down the road in the car, and I got to praying, and I got the Holy Ghost got on me, and I got broke up, and I had to pull over. You know them yellow barrels that sets where an exit is, in case you miss the exit and hit the, you know. Well, I pulled up to one of those yellow barrels because I was crying. I couldn't hardly see what I was doing. I thought, I better stop. I can tell you where I was at. I was on Interstate 37 in San Antonio, Texas. And I think I was on the Commerce Street exit. But I know that if it wasn't on that exit. Right by the Tire of Americas. And I said, God, when are you going to use me? I didn't really expect Him to answer me. But He did. The Lord spoke to me that day. Now, the Lord don't sit on my bed and talk to me like He does some people. Or like some people say He does. You know, He impresses me some, but this day He spoke to me. I said, when are you going to use me? When are you going to, you know... You know what He said to me? He said, when are you going to serve me? When are you going to live for me every day like you know how to live? Like you know you're supposed to live? He said, when you do that, you will find yourself doing what I've called you to do. When you just serve me, just do all you know to do, and I'll just use you. And whatever I've called you to do, you'll find yourself doing it. I want to tell you something. There is a tremendous secret in that. If you'll just serve Him today, you don't have it. He's not going to use you until you serve Him. When you begin to serve God, you begin to live for Him, you begin to put Him in your everyday, you'll just find God using you in exactly what He's called you to do. He'll open doors, He'll shut doors, and He'll use you. Sometimes it'll be in little things. Sometimes it might be pretty big. But it'll be Him and not you. And that's the good part. Because you'll know God did this. God, help me to help Him. Help His kingdom. So it takes a little while to get settled. Get it settled in your mind. But the more you serve Him, The more you get these things in your heart that God will put in your mind and in your heart, He'll begin to strengthen you. You won't just be settled, but you'll finally get strong in God. And finally, you can reach a place where you're established. My God. God's looking for that in you young people. Established. And finally, you'll be mature. You'll be a full age. God's going to use some young people. I was talking to one of the older ministers just today. And me and him both agreed that we probably won't be here when God finishes this work in the end of the Gentile world. But we said there's a generation following us up. He may be giving us the material to build the temple with, but somebody's going to put it up. Somebody's going to build it. Somebody's going to do this restorative work. So I just want to encourage you today. Don't wait on Him to use you. Serve Him. Serve Him today. Give Him your life. Look for Him in everything, every day. Look for a way that you can do something for God or that He can use you. Amen. All right, let's just let God have His way in this meeting. Let Him use you. Let Him do whatever He wants to do. This is His meeting. And I know He's got people here He wants to work through. He wants to bless. He wants to... Some of you will leave here different than you came. God will send you home with a new and broadened vision. New instructions. New direction. New zeal. Hallelujah. Let Him bless you while you're here. God bless your hearts.
To worship the Lord with all my heart, give Him my all and not just a part. I want to lift up my hands to the King of Kings and pray.
Give Him my all.
Yeah.
my, my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Well, I know there's more to come. I'm looking forward to it. The dining room is open after the night services. There's food, pizzas, ice cream, cokes, drinks, different things down there, and room for fellowship. So, and then the gym, we're under construction in our gym. Our snack bar, we've tore it out. We're going to completely renew it and pray for us. We're going to try to get our gym fixed up for you and get it air conditioned for the future, but we don't have it done yet. But it will be open tonight for some of you brave hearts. But some of you that aren't quite as brave, we decided that the air-conditioned dining room might be more in line for you and some of the food and good fellowship that you can have. So it's open downstairs. You're dismissed. We'll see you in the morning. Breakfast at 8. Service at 11, is that right? And curfew tonight at midnight. So they'll be open in the dining room and the gym downstairs till around 11:30 or so, and then we'll start shooing you out. Good night. God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly. Now, here's what the church does when I tell them to shake hands and be friendly. They do like this. See you in the morning. See you.